Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest today is the Director of Program Innovation and Planning at the African Union Development Agency, AUDA NEPAD, Mrs. Estherine Fortabon. Mrs. Fortabon sheds more light on her agency's post-COVID-19 African tourism recovery strategy launched in the midst of the pandemic to support member states. She believes the time has come for Africa to pay more attention to innovation in building a sustained and resilient tourism sector. So, Madam Estherine, welcome to the podcast, and how are you keeping in this COVID situation?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kojope, on the podcast. And we're keeping well. We're thankful for that. Of course, we have all learned to work from home, as it has been a major adjustment to our working habits, but we have continued to deliver on our on what we have to do in terms of the work we have to deliver to the African people.
Okay, no, thank you. Definitely, we all have to adjust ourselves to, you know, the new reality. But let's start with the African Union Development Agency, NEPAD, and with your, you know, specific department on how you managed the COVID, because I mean, you're in charge of innovation planning, and which tourism also sits under your portfolio. How did you manage that process with all the things that were supposed to happen in our last meeting in South Africa? Can you tell me something about that?
Right. Thank you so much. Well, the coronavirus pandemic caught everyone unawares. Right. We, as you rightly mentioned, we had the meeting, we had a clear agenda of actions and activities that we had planned to implement in 2020. But this pandemic really disrupted our programmatic activities for the year. Well, at the same time, we have looked at it from a positive perspective. We have learned a lot, and I think the pandemic has presented us with an opportunity to really rethink the notion of development. The pandemic really reaffirmed the importance of building socioeconomic resilience post COVID-19. We really cannot go back to where we were in terms of development thinking. You know, the pandemic really demonstrated exacerbated, you know, the challenges that we have in our member states in areas such as inequalities in the economy. And I think this 2020 hit a pause and gave us some time to think and reflect on that. And in part of that thinking, what AUD and NEPA did was, you know, we did undertake analysis, an initial analysis of the impact of the pandemic. From that analysis, we published a white paper highlighting issues of tourism and security and the need to put in place, you know, early warning systems to deal with the crisis and future pandemics. I know that some of these things, you know, just take people unaware, but we can still have mechanisms that can support and through these early warning systems to kick in and to help member states respond in times of such crisis. We also held, you know, coordination meetings with the AU regional economic communities, called direct, really to understand the preliminary impacts of COVID-19 within the eight regions of the continent. as well as the necessary support that AUDA could render to the regional economic communities so that they can also effectively support the member states.
And, okay.
Yes. Okay.
No, I was saying that before we even come to the African tourism recovery strategy that you launched in the midst of the viral, the pandemic, can you tell us more about OIDA NEPAD itself, you know, its functions, for people who don't know the OIDA NEPAD?
Okay. AUDA NEPAD, so the African Union Development Agency at NEPAD, is the development agency of the African Union, if just a repetition of words. You know, we were first the NEPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency, focusing on coordinating the implementation of priority continental programs. Now, NEPAD has, you know, just a bit of history, gone through these iterations. And it's new from in 2019 at the 35th ordinary session in Niger. A decision was made by the heads of state to transform the NEPAD Planning and Coordination Agency into an African Union Development Agency. Given the excellent performance and building on the performance of the NEPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency, the heads of state thought we needed a stronger development agency, an agency focused on supporting the development of the continent. And so they transformed the NPCA into the development agency and adopted some clear rules on its mandate and its status. So it given it a clear legal personality to operate as a development agency. Now, in terms of the mandate, in addition to supporting the implementation and execution of continental programs, they added three other very important and critical aspects to the work of the agency. That include, one, providing a knowledge-based advisory support to member states with regard to development strategies. So again, like the work that we are doing on in the tourism area, and I will come back to that a little bit later on, like developing the security paper. These are the kind of knowledge-based advisory support that the mandate now requires us to do. It also requested AUDA NEPAD to be the technical interface with all Africa's development partners. So again, the work that we do with some of critical partners, like in the tourism sector, like with UNWTO, the African Tourism Association, all of these are really a clear mandate that has been given to the development agency to do by the heads of states. And it also, and also that includes with, with private sector, to engage with a wide range of partners to be able to support development of the continent. And lastly, it gave us the mandate to engage in a full range of resource mobilization to support priority programs for the continent. So we are not just looking at resources from say, development partners, traditional development partners, but also resources from private sector, but also exploring, you know, domestic resource mobilization to invest in Africa's development. So in summary, really, that's the mandate of the organization. And I want to say that that's a big emphasis in its operation rationale to focus on result-oriented actions. Not just having meetings here and there, but those meetings must be whether policy are oriented and concrete investment actions on the ground that can change and transform the life of regular Africans. We really count on working in a partnership ecosystem where we work with different actors, whether be them technical actors, UN agencies, but also non-state actors on the ground, civil society, that are on the ground working on concrete initiatives that can create jobs and sustain the ecosystem that provides the assets for our most African tourism activities. And lastly, as I said, engaging with the private sector. So in addition to this clear mandate, the approach of the AU Development Agency have partnerships as well as results-oriented as critical in its operations. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you so much for that very elaborate overview of AUDA NEPA. Now, let's go back to the African tourism recovery strategy. In the midst of the pandemic, and I must say that OIDA NEPAD were very active and were very innovative to engage some of the actors in the tourism space, not just in Africa, but beyond the continent. What is this document seeks to do, this recovery strategy and its main objectives?
As I said, when we, on a reflection of the pandemic, continue, no one so foresaw that it will take such a long time, to get out of the COVID crisis. But on reflection, when we did the analysis, we decided we really needed to get this paper and then engage with the actors on the ground to endorse it. So the objective really was to create a reference system that synthesizes good practices and responses to offer African Union member states as a tool to respond to the pandemic. So we looked at what pertains to other regions, what others have done, and then put together that as a tool that can help member states in their response and recovery processes, as well as to anticipate future risk and threats to the tourism sector. Now, the strategy seeks to really coordinate the efforts of member states and other partners to ensure synergies and to also minimize duplication to promote evidence-based public health practices in the tourism sector. In addition, the strategy proposes several recommendations for the recovery and sustainability of the travel and tourism sector, which are addressed to businesses in the sectors, member states, as well as regional organizations. So the tourism really speaks to all the actors, businesses, in the private sector, to the member states, and to regional organizations. And some of the key areas that it addresses include the diversification of markets, products, and services. It also looked at the issue of, invest in the market intelligence systems and the digital transformation of the sector. It looked at the question of how to reinforce tourism governance at all levels, so from global, regional, national, and the sub-regional levels. And it looked at how we prepare for crisis, how to build resilience and ensure that tourism is part of the national emergency mechanism and system. So the national emergency response mechanism should also look at the tourism sector and not just, look at natural disasters. And then critically looked at the issue of investing in human capital and talent development. And it also looked at the issue of, how to place sustainable tourism firmly in the national agenda. The issue of ecotourism is coming very strongly as an area that African countries should invest more in, for the creation of jobs. And because we already have the natural assets that are there, and the issue of transition into the circular economy and embrace the sustainable development goals from the perspective of the tourism industry.
Oh wow, that's very broad. But you know, one other challenge that I think we face, especially not just for tourism but across the board, is the fact that you realize that when we had to switch to more, you know, virtual, we realized that most of the member states, you know, sometimes accessibility to internet and all of that, you know, was a challenge. Has it come to your attention? And if it has, how do you intend to, you know, help member states or even the businesses who aren't able to even access basic things like connectivity?
Absolutely. The whole issue of connectivity is a big challenge. In a way, as we are talking about digitalization, we have to first start looking at whether we have the infrastructure to help to do that digitalization, because we have to go there. I think it's not a choice, but it's the way that we have to go to help the tourism industry bounce back. And I think with that, it can help it to really bounce back fully. But before we get there, as I said, India NEPAD is putting this platform, as I said, through the strategy where we can gather best practices. So just in recognition that member states are at different levels of this digitalization. So you will have in some countries where this is more advanced, like in Rwanda, South Africa, and so on. But in others, we're not yet there. So we resources that member states can help them in their recovery, we, AUD and NEPAD, will create a platform where we can put those best practices. But secondly, we are looking at this capacity building. How can we help to strengthen the national capacity or capacity of member states to get into this transformation process, into the digital age? So capacity building processes on training is one of the things that we're going to be doing. How to, in some instances, we're going to be strengthening data infrastructure, but in others, it will just be training on how to use this digital data to inform policies and programs.
Okay, no, that's quite very progressive. Now, again, if we are to look at the partnerships that you had, I mean, you had a wonderful working partnership with the UNWTO, and I recall that 3 years ago, where five young and upcoming, you know, companies, tourism companies in Africa, had the opportunity to pitch in Madrid. What is the extent of engagement that you are having with UNWTO with respect to tourism in Africa?
Indeed, as you rightly observe, we have a really good working relationship, a working partnership with UNWTO for close to a decade now, you know, and our collaborative effort has seen a number of bilateral as well as multilateral activities carried out and or supported by both UNWTO and AUDA NEPAD that have led to some very, very good results. Over the years, we have been collaborating with UNWTO in the Organization of the African Ministers of Tourism annual meetings. As you know, at some point, the NEPAD Tourism Action Plan really was the framework document that was used to help define the action plans or action program for the ministers of tourism meeting working with UNWTO. And through that support, we actually got into the process of reviewing this document together with UNWTO as requested by our ministers. we have organized together important side events at the level of the UN General Assembly meetings in New York, just to bring visibility and do advocacy for the tourism sector. And these meetings really were highly attended and, as I said, brought the visibility that the sector needed, particularly at a time where we had some crises like the Ebola in the West African region and in the Central African region. These activities that highlighted the potential and the measures that African countries are taking to support tourism were very important. In 2018, January, we established this tourism technology adventure, I want to call it that because it was. This platform really gives the African youth the opportunity to develop startups in the tourism sector and present to potential investors at the annual investor conference in Madrid. Investo, as you know, Kojo, is an annual forum jointly organized by the Spanish government, UNWTO, and the International Tourism Trade Fair. So that collaboration that we had with UNWTO actually gave the possibility of young Africans to also participate in this. And as you mentioned, we did have five of our young people who benefited from this. We also worked with UNWTO for the establishment of the Women in Tourism platform. The statistics shows, you know, the participation of women in the tourism sector, particularly considering that perhaps about 80% of tourism businesses are small and medium-sized enterprises. And in that area, you do have a lot of women involved. So creating a platform that can hear women issues, policy issues, that can support women participation in the industry, we think is really an important partnership and an area that we will want and continue to work with UNWTO. And lastly, but not the least, coming out of the world, as a response to the pandemic, and something that we had discussed before, but even the pandemic demonstrated how relevant it is. We are working with UNWTO and the West African Economic and Monitoring Union, UEMWA, to publish a white paper on security in tourism as part of the post-COVID recovery efforts.
Oh, okay, that's good because as experts have predicted, that it will take 3 to 4 years to have the level pre the pandemic. So I mean, it'll be good to see what this report would entail. But just on that report again, what are the lessons for the African tourism sector from this pandemic? What do you think, from where you sit as a program innovation and planning at the, development agency, what do you think we can do to accelerate our recovery and give more importance to tourism, which employs a number of our people?
Well, I think that's a very important question because, it won't be remiss if we haven't learned something the last year and a half. Of course, we are still learning as we are not yet completely out of this crisis. But part of the lessons is the conviction that development pathways should promote knowledge and people-centered-based development. That along, both technical and behavioral change that require both political and civic actions to succeed. So our development has to be people-centered, and has to be guided by evidence, by knowledge, by what we know on the ground. if anything, I think the pandemic really exposed the inequalities of the developmental approaches that we have followed so far. And as I said earlier, really, we don't want to go back there. We have seen where we said we want social distances as part of the public policy measures that should be implemented to fight this COVID response. We want people to be sanitizing their hands, washing their hands, you know. But then we have huge areas where our populations are, where you don't have clean water, let alone being able to buy hand sanitizers in the shop. We have areas where large number of our populations, we have, you know, a lot, several people living in the same small space. How do you do social distancing? So, you know, this we had lockdowns. People could not go to the farms. They could not engage in economic productive activity. But then we didn't have those social safety nets that could provide for them. So I think this really is serious. And for the tourism sector, where this has been one of the most vulnerable sectors to shocks, we know that arrival rates, I think, dropped. International arrival rates dropped to about 47% in 2020. That's significant. And as I said, most of the businesses in the tourism industry are small and medium-sized businesses. Now, they employ a lot of people along the value chain. We have to look at it along the whole tourism value chain. So it is important, of course, we do know that the sector is resilient and can bounce back. And for that, because we have seen that before, but for that to happen, I think we need to have the right kinds of investments. We need to, you know, look at measures that we put in the way of building resilience and enhancing sustainability of the sector. So for that, that requires not only also requires opportunity to build the sector with a focus on critical areas. So as we were speaking earlier, it will be important to actually look at prioritizing issues of digitalization of the sector. You know, people can do digital marketing, you know, advertise their businesses online, give visas online, you know, really move to that age where we can really use technology and innovation to improve on the sector. I think there's a huge opportunity for investing in green growth to provide decent jobs to the youth. When we had a meeting with the focal points to present the strategy, the tourism strategy that AUDA has developed, the member states, it was very interesting how they spoke a lot about linking the actions with the actions to on conservation and sustainable development. That we tend to just look at the sector, but investing in green growth, in green jobs, so supporting investments and leveraging on investments that go to this green investment to drive the tourism sector is very important. So supporting, for instance, conservation actions in protected areas, to make sure that, you know, the wildlife, well, in the countries where wildlife tourism is big, continues to be a big thing, is important. Looking at debt relief through green debt relief is important. So benefit, you know, from this international debt relief that identify promoting conservation areas to support the tourism sector is an area where we think more effort and energy needs to be put into to explore those potentials. And looking at infrastructure development, we think that as part of the African Continental Free Trade Area, tourism has to be, you know, one of those priority sectors that can drive trade between African countries and externally. And as part of that, we need to invest in the infrastructure that will facilitate, you know, intra-African tourism activities, which, again, as I said, came out from the meeting with where we had, that we know that we have suffered as a result of the pandemic from global arrivals. While, you know, countries are still not open for travel, we need to encourage domestic travel as well as regional travel. These are areas that we need to do a bit more. And lastly, just these partnerships. Recovery, we need different actors to come together. The private sector, the government, the development agencies and the UN agencies, as well as civil society actors, have to work together to be able to implement all the necessary actions that we have talked about before. And lastly, building confidence. I think we have to carry this message that the potential in the continent is huge, and we have taken measures, just like you just mentioned. Rwanda is absolutely doing brilliantly by already, you know, giving the vaccine to the hotels in the country. I think these kinds of measures will build confidence for visitors, so that they can come start visiting again. So confidence, and measures that will drive and build that confidence will really help us to bounce back. And we think from AUDA perspective that there's a tremendous opportunity to bounce back here.
Well, thank you so much, Minister. I think it's been very elaborate and insightful conversation on how we are trying to restart tourism and again, what the AUDA is doing to accelerate and also support member states. As we wrap up, I'd like to, you know, get this from you before you take leave of us. It's can you tell us about yourself? I mean, and if you're not at the conferences and running activities of NEPA, what are you doing at leisure?
Well, thank you. That's very important question. I try to be a balanced person. Sometimes this work can really take all of your time. But first and foremost, I'm a family person. I am a mother. I'm a wife, and I have my siblings and my mom. So I'm an African woman. With an extended family. So I am surrounded by really a wonderful and loving family, and really they are my drive. They support me in all that I do, and when you go to work, you can give it your best because you know you have the support of your family, you have the love of your family, and you're working. You're not living to work, but you work to live, you work to as part of that whole package. I do make space for my family because that balance is very important to me. On training, I studied law, and then I studied international policy, international affairs, which focus on implementing policy and practice. So again, that's why when we have this conversation and we are talking about, global policies and how we make sure we are implementing this at a national level and how national issues impact and should be taken on board in global policy is very important to me, because it has to be a two-way stream of things. I've worked in the development space for close to 2 years. I've worked with the United Nations, UNEP. I've worked in academia, lectured in the University of Yaoundé, and I've worked in African institution and in an NGO. So I have a bird's eye view of all these different forms of organizations. And I'm very passionate about youth empowerment and advancing equality and empowerment of African women. I strongly, strongly believe that women are the bedrock of our society. Sometimes we celebrate the women who are engineers and have these big degrees. But for me, the first celebration is for the rural women, the local women, those who have not even gone to, they don't have these big and fancy degrees, but they are there for their families. They get up at 5 a.m. in the morning to fry puff or all the other things, or to go to the market to sell, whatever they sell there, to educate their children, to support their families in every condition. So I am very, very passionate, as you can feel from what I'm saying, on supporting the African woman. I have been recognized, I want to thank God, by across the continent, with some leadership and recognition awards from a few governments, including Cameroon, my home, my country, from Ethiopia, from Egypt, and some leading corporate publications in Africa, and some of the work that I do. In my leisure time, I like to listen to news. Current affairs. I have the news going on all the time. It's always in the background. I like to read. I like to read magazines and novels. And I like to dance when I have the chance to.
Oh, so that's I like that part of dancing. No, Madam Esterin, for the bond. Thank you so much for your time. And we really do appreciate, you've become a key resource to us at Voyage Afrique. And we hope to see you back, and we want to see tourism back. And we are, we're here to support the agenda of AUDA for us to see how we can obviously use tourism as that powerful tool to uplift our people.
Thank you very much, Koja. And I continue to do the excellent work on Voyage d'Afrique. I think you are really shedding light on the potential of tourism in the continent and what our countries are doing. And we appreciate the collaboration and the opportunity that you give us to share what we are doing as AUDA NEPAD in the tourism industry, tourism sector. Thank you so much.